When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wednesday, July 21st, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes, our Tribe beat writer. Hoynesy, another tough one for the Indians in Houston on Tuesday night, two in a row there against the Astros that they've dropped. Last night, Tristan McKenzie tried his best, you know, but his best wasn't good enough against a really tough Houston lineup. Jose Altuve leading the charge, hitting two home runs and really getting to him early. McKenzie's looked better since he's been back with the Indians, but still not where he needs to be in order to provide some sort of, you know, reassurance to Terry Francona and the rest of this lineup.
Yeah. You know, Jose Altuve, celebrated his 10th anniversary of his big league debut in style, hits a leadoff home run off McKenzie, and his next at bat homers again. But, you know, Joe, I like the fact that McKenzie kind of didn't buckle after those home runs, you know, at the end of three or at the end of four innings. It's still only 2-0. Then that six-run fifth inning just kind of blew the Indians out of the water. But, in his last two starts, he's only walked two guys. He's, you know, I think he's attacked the strike zone better. You know, he's thrown more strikes. So I guess it is. It's kind of a half step forward and a half step back, but you know, it is encouraging in that regard. But you know, the Indians just they're sending rookie pitchers against a veteran Houston lineup the last two nights, and you know, JC Mejia got knocked around. You know, he was kind of the same start as McKenzie did, a lot of traffic, but he didn't really, you know, give up a whole lot of runs.
You know, yeah, Mejia had a career high 7 strikeouts in that outing too.
Yeah, yeah, and so there were flashes of good stuff, but you know, I think, you know, it's like sending, you know, boys against men right now when you have three rookies facing that Houston lineup.
Right, and a lot of the things that we're saying here sound like what we would be saying if we were following a Detroit or following a Kansas City, clubs that are committed to like rebuilds right now, and that they're playing their young pitching and their rookie pitching. But this is the Indians, and they're still sort of on, you know, on the surface, on their face, they're saying they're committed to trying to win and still reach the playoffs at this point. It's looking like, you know, if they drop three in a row to Houston, if they go home and have you know, a tough time struggling against Tampa Bay, it's going to tell us where they're going to be come the trade deadline, right?
Yeah, I think so, Joe. And I think, you know, we've talked about this before. I think they've pretty much made up their mind. I can't see them, you know, making a big move one way or the other. I mean, you know, maybe you trade a Hernandez or if Eddie Rosario, some team wants to take a shot on him, getting him healthy in time for the stretch run, you do something like that. But are they going to make a big move to help this rotation? No. Are they going to bring in another hitter? No. You know, it's, you know, are they going to trade Jose Ramirez? I don't think so, you know. So
no, I'll say that. No.
So they're kind of treading water right now.
In the past, those moves had been dictated by, you know, there was a young pitcher or a young player who was ready to go out into free agency the following year or 2 years and make a boatload of money that the Indians weren't going to be able to pay him or wouldn't be willing to pay him. Or there was a veteran, you know, with a big contract or something that they could deal and get a return where they could set things up for the future, where you could acquire a Framil Reyes, where you could acquire, you know, a Josh Naylor and a Cal Quantrill to sort of help at the big league level and keep moving forward immediately. They don't have anybody on the roster right now like that. Nobody, there are no contracts. There's no money committed beyond this year, honestly. So there's really no deal for them to be made that sort of threads the needle the way they have. We're talking about Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff, as they have in the past couple of seasons.
Yeah, that's a good point. And so what do? You just kind of grit your teeth and get through this thing. And, you're 47 and 45 at this point. Like you said, they've got they got to play Houston tonight. And then you got four against Tampa Bay, who swept you just before the All-Star break, three straight, through a seven-inning no-hitter against you. And then you got St. Louis coming to town. It's not going to get any easier. The best they can do is kind of hang on and hopefully, they get Bieber and Savali back. Rosario comes off the IL and, Jose Ramirez gets healthy and, you kind of finish as strong as you can.
Well, and you bring up a good point, Jose Ramirez and his health. Jose Ramirez has not been the same at the plate since it was a diving attempt at a Michael Brantley ball when they were playing Houston in Cleveland a couple weeks ago. And he came up a little bruised, a little banged up on his elbow. Tito says that when he swings, when he gets to full extension, that's when the elbow sort of barks at him a little bit. And you've seen the result at the plate lately. He's really fallen off. It's getting to the point where, he sat out last night's game. Do you make a move, put him on the IL for a couple of, 10 days, a couple of weeks, just to get him right to see if you can, make a run at the, after he comes off the list?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, Francona said, no, they don't want to do that. They'd obviously, they're going to try to slow play him, give him, a day off here and there over the next 10 days to 2 weeks, see if that'll help him instead of losing him for 10 days on the IL. But, the last time they tried to do this, it was with Roberto Perez when he had the broken finger in April, and he ended up having surgery and missing, 5, 7, 8 weeks. So I'm not equating this injury with that injury. I don't think Jose needs surgery. At least there's been no indication of that. But I don't know. It's kind of like robbing Peter to pay Paul. Do you do it now or do you just kind of, suffer through the drip, drip, drip of a guy, struggling for 2 weeks?
One of the things that we love about Jose Ramirez, one of the things that Tito obviously loves about Jose Ramirez and that makes Jose Ramirez, Jose Ramirez, is that he plays every day, that he shows up every day, dinged up, long game the day before, whatever. He's always in the lineup. Like you've said before, it's a trait. It's a characteristic. It's a, sort of ingrained in the Dominican players. They all want, you look at Carlos Santana, he always wanted to play every day. He always did play every day. Is that something? Now, Jose Ramirez is no old guy by any stretch of the imagination, but he's been doing this, playing every day in the lineup, every day of his career, basically. Are we getting to the point where maybe once in a while, a regular or a every couple of weeks day off for this guy might actually, we see the benefits from that. Maybe the Tito just sort of has to bite the bullet and say, hey, look, I'm the manager. You're the player. You're going to sit because I know what's best for you.
Yeah. I think, they might be approaching that, Joe. The thing with Jose is, he can help you. Even if he's not hitting, he can help you win. He's a great base runner. He's good, a solid defensive player at third base. He's a threat in the lineup, even if he's not hitting. People pitch carefully to him. They might walk him to get to somebody else and set up a situation. So I'm sure that's what Francona is thinking about. We're even at like 70%, Jose is better than anybody we can put at third base instead of him.
Well, if he does have to go on the 10-day injured list, if he does have to miss significant time, does that mean Nolan Jones becomes an option at third base for the Indians? Is he somebody that they have to look at and bring up and start to finally get a look at their, you know, guy who's been their number one rated prospect for a while now?
Yeah, I think that would be the logical choice. You know, I mean, Ernie Clement is here, but you need a utility guy. So Jones is swinging the bat better at Columbus. I think he's got 7 or 8 home runs. He hit one last night for Columbus. So, and, you know, there was a reason they kept him at third base, Joe. You know, they haven't moved him around like they said they were going to. I mean, he's played a little bit of, you know, outfield, I guess. But, you know, it's not like he's the super utility guy that it sounded like he was going to become, you know, in spring training. They're keeping him at third base for a reason. So, you know, if Jose does go on the IL, you know, I would think that would be the logical move.
And you bring up Nolan Jones for a spell, maybe. Maybe that helps Tristan McKenzie. This is the two of them have a really good, close relationship. And, you know, having another buddy there in the clubhouse, somebody he trusts and can rely on, maybe that makes Tristan McKenzie feel a little more comfortable, gets him in a good headspace, and you get a few good starts out of Tristan McKenzie with his buddy in the clubhouse. I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but I'm just saying, you know, there are benefits to that. Obviously, the big drawback is you don't have Jose Ramirez in the lineup, and nobody wants to see that, I don't think.
There's never been a better time to register for Indians Subtext and get all your Cleveland Indians news with updates from Cleveland.com reporters Paul Hoynes and Joe Noga. Get on board now by going to joinsubtext.com/Cleveland Indians. Our subscriber-based service gives you the latest news, analysis, and more from the Indians. For $3.99 a month, you get everything we're hearing from the team and the first word before things are announced. We text you big breaking news directly to your phone, even before it's up on Cleveland.com. And you can text us directly with your questions and opinions on everything from the team's name to that day's lineup. And it's the only way to get your questions and comments on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. Why sign up? Hear from one of our subscribers.
I'm Jeff Heinerson. I grew up there in Milan, Ohio, but I now live out in Idaho. I've been here for 40 years, and my son was born and raised here, and I got him as a birthday present your subtext. And I wanted to thank Paul for sending him a birthday greeting and to tell you that he is really enjoying the subtext. He's not from Ohio, but because he grew up with me, he's hardcore Indian fan. So thanks again.
Jeff and all of our Indian subtext subscribers agree. There's a lot going on with the Indians, and the best way to keep up is with Indian Subtext. Go to joinsubtext.com/Cleveland Indians, or better yet, text Hoynesy at 216-208-4346. Again, that's 216-208-4346. We look forward to hearing from you on Indian Subtext.
All right, so the Indians looking forward to this Friday when I guess all of the, or at least the top guys in their 2021 draft are supposed to be signing. Is that what I'm hearing correctly?
Yeah, I think that's the way that this usually works, Joe. They, you know, they bring the draft picks out to a good year, kind of, you know, introduce them to the organization. I think Scott Barnsby, the director of, you know, director of amateur scouting, calls it a foundation program. And, you know, they'd go through their physicals, excuse me. And then I think they announced the signings all together. Now this was like 2 years ago, I think before the pandemic. They didn't do it last year, obviously, but, you know, they kind of had, you know, would announce a in mass signing. And I think, you know, Gavin Williams, their number one pick, is out there, the right-hander from East Carolina. He's expected to sign Friday. And I would think the rest of those guys are right behind him, or, you know, if not right behind him in the next, you know, few days, next several days after Friday, we'll see, you know, that class, what I think 21 players they took, and 18 college pitchers and one high school pitcher and two position players.
Yeah, it's Terry Francona, I guess, had an opportunity to do a like a Zoom meeting or a, you know, an availability with them. you know, just from the top to see Terry Francona talking to them and engaging with them, even if it is via a computer monitor, probably an exciting thing for those guys and something to aspire to. And, you know, Tito sounded pretty excited about getting a whole class full of college pitchers. That was something that I guess the Angels did the same thing, but when you asked Tito about it, he was like, heck yeah, we drafted 18 college guys.
Yeah. Obviously he wants pitching as soon as possible if you're the manager. So I guess college pitching is the way to go with that and get them up here. It sounded like Tito wouldn't have cried if they went 20 or 24, 21 for 20, 21 for in college pitching. He says it's a running joke between him and Antonetti and Chernoff and the scouts.
Yeah. He said he was getting text messages every time they would draft another college pitcher. His text would go off with, yeah, got another college kid, got another college arm here. And he was excited about that. So good to hear. All right. As we head towards the July 30th Major League Baseball trading deadline, we're still not 100% sure if the Indians are buyers or sellers, but we know for sure which teams are going to be and are already selling off pieces and going into rebuild modes. Not really surprising, but the Indians 2016 World Series opponent, the Chicago Cubs, dismantling basically the core of that championship team now as they dealt away Jock Peterson, who wasn't a part of that core, but they're looking to deal Chris Bryant, and that news could be coming, if not by the end of this week, certainly early next week.
Yeah, definitely. It just shows you teams like the Indians can't keep a core together, and they turn over this roster every year, and they have the excuse of being a small market, or they use the excuse of being a small market. But if a team like the Cubs can't keep a team together with a billionaire for an owner and a money making machine at Wrigley Field, it is a tough job. And Theo Epstein got out at the right time. He saw this coming and he bailed. And, it's hard. It's hard on fans. It's hard on the organization. But, when you've got to break up a ball club, you got to do it. And the good thing for the Cubs at the Indians' expense is that they did win a World Series.
They converted before they had to break it apart. Right? Yeah.
They probably didn't win as many as everyone thought they did. It wasn't a dynasty that they thought it was going to become, but they won one. And, you always got that to hang your hat on.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here. I don't think any of us are going to sit here and weep for any Cubs fans about, their team breaking up. It doesn't feel right. Yeah. Also, considering that they were occupying pretty much every other seat in Game 7 of the World Series, I don't feel one ounce of sadness for any one of those Cubs fans.
That was the Indians' fault for giving their season ticket holders so many tickets.
Yeah, we could have a whole podcast on that. But no, with the pieces, Javi Baez, Chris Bryant, all those guys being free agents or approaching free agency, they could really reshape the league by wherever they end up. It also depends. I mean, could you imagine Chris Bryant joining Lindor in New York and with the Mets, or, Javi Baez going to play shortstop for the Yankees? That could really sort of influence the way the league goes for the next couple of years as well.
Oh, for sure. And the stretch run, Joe, I mean, God, that's unbelievable. That's Bryant in with the Mets, and, he plays all over the place. The guy's like, the guy's 6'5", right? I mean,
yeah, he plays everywhere and he's 6'5".
Yeah. That's gotta be the place. I would think if you're the Mets and you're serious and Lindor's down, he's not in the lineup and you need a boost, you know, and DeGrom's down too, right? So,
right, yeah.
You know, that seems like a logical move, you know, for the Mets.
We'll see. The other club that's sort of surprisingly in that rebuild mode now, if you would have asked at the beginning of the season, it's the Twins. The Twins have had injuries. They've suffered injuries all year long. They haven't lived up to expectations, and now they're going to be selling off many pieces to their division championship puzzle over the last couple of years. Probably likely starting with Jose Berríos, but you could also include Josh Donaldson in there. You could maybe even, I've heard rumors of Max Kepler being moved. Everybody's available on that roster right now for the Twins.
Yeah, and that floors me, you know, because you thought the Twins had put this team together, that they, you know, they win two division titles in the AL Central. You know, they're just getting started, and now you've got to look at breaking that ball club up. Byron Buxton, you know, I mean, they're talking about trading him. I mean, he's been on the DL or IL 11 times, but what a great player when he's healthy.
And last week they were talking about trying to re-sign him as well or extend
him. Yeah. I mean, I guess if you can't extend him, you trade him, you know,
Well, it's not like they're going anywhere this year because they're basically in the cellar of the Central because of the injuries and their poor performance. So
yeah, they just had a terrible year with COVID. Everything kind of piled up on those guys, and they never could get back, you know, back on track.
Well, the Indians are going to look at their starting rotation and not feel sorry for any other team that's been suffering injuries this season. So, all right, Hoynsie, we're looking at one more in Houston and then heading home, opening up a four-game weekend series with the Rays. We'll look forward to your coverage on the last game of the trip here tonight, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow from Cleveland.